time is.
It's Pastor Adam's podcast.
Good day, people. It has been a while. It's been 3 weeks since my last proper podcast devotional. It's been the longest break I've ever taken. And that's crazy, right? Like 3 weeks that I took off. That's unusual. But I had some things going on. I had a family vacation to the happiest place on earth. Talking Disney, folks. Happiest place. And interestingly enough, it wasn't so happy when I arrived. We all got to our room, and I immediately left to go get the cart, from the lobby to go to the car, bring the rest of our luggage and all our pillows and all that stuff from the car. When I get back, the mood was not happy, not chipper. Not enjoyable. No. It was one of anger and frustration. You see, the three of them, my wife and kids, were fighting about where, each person was going to sleep, while we were there. And then here's the good, listen to this. My wife says to me, "This is all your fault because you allow this behavior." The person who is not even around when this happened, it's my fault. My fault. So my point is, if you're listening or streaming this podcast devotional today and you're single and you're thinking about getting married, just marriage, it's a crazy thing. You never know what you're going to get on a day-to-day basis. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, so that was week one of no podcast devotional. It was a good trip, though. The following Wednesday was Christmas Eve, and I was kind of busy that day/evening. Had the, two services. There's a lot going on in the church world Christmas Eve. And then the next Wednesday was New Year's Eve, and I'll be honest with you, I wasn't really that busy. Definitely could have done a podcast devotional, but decided I would just continue to live my life. Actually, I think we were all kind of getting sick that day. My whole family got sick over the holidays, cold kind of stuff. Here's something crazy though. My wife got the cold first, had it for a few days, and then miraculously got better. And then that night she came downstairs to get some ibuprofen because she was in a lot of pain, like back stuff. And I was like, she came down, it was weird. And then as she got the ibuprofen, she was like unable to straighten up, then was unable to sort of walk. And I'm like, are you okay? Do you need me to take you somewhere? And she's like, she wasn't making a whole lot of sense. But then I finally convinced her that I'd take her to the ER, and she had kidney stone. I haven't seen her in that much pain since childbirth. At one point I thought she was going to crawl up the wall like Exorcist, and because she didn't know what to do with herself. She was like a spider monkey. But she was sent home and, passed the stone, and then immediately got her cold back, which is weird. Fun stuff. Oh, and then on New Year's Eve, our mailbox got run over. And when she went to go assess the situation, I was inside watching TV, and then she came back in the house all hobbled and limping and crying, and I was like, what happened now? And she was like, I dropped the mailbox on my foot. And now let me just say this. I am the type of person who finds humor in other people's pains sometimes, most of the time, but in this situation, she wasn't gonna take my laughing well. She would have been upset, so I held it together for a good long while, like a really long time, probably an hour, as she iced her foot and whimpered And then when I could sense that she was going to be a little more open to laughing, I started my little jokey jokes. She didn't love them. I'm going to be honest. She didn't love them. But we were in a safe space where she took it. I laughed and I laughed and I laughed some more. My ribs hurt because it was so good. It was so funny. Then I messaged my neighbor across the street and asked if his doorbell camera picked up who ran over the mailbox. You know, because ours is in a position where it, like, you couldn't see our mailbox. And so I messaged him and I'm like, hey, do you have the footage of the car running over my mailbox? And he was like, no, I don't. And I go, do you have the footage of her dropping the mailbox on her foot? Because that's probably even more valuable. I think I'd like to see that a little bit more. Unfortunately, he didn't realize he didn't have his doorbell camera hooked up or something. It was a bummer. But I did get a new post, cemented in the ground, put the box up. So it was only down for a day. By the way, on New Year's Day, I walked the entire neighborhood. We got a big subdivision, right? And I was looking for damage on cars. I have a handful of suspects, but no smoking gun. If I only had video. But guess what? My eyes are peeled. I'm on the lookout. And one more thing before we get into the devotional. I want to talk the gym for a minute. I've talked about this before in a previous podcast where I talked about this girl who had shark teeth tattoos that I really wanted to talk to her about, but I felt like I couldn't. Because I don't like the nowadays how guys like myself can't even talk to a girl in the gym. Because they're just going to assume I'm one of those guys hitting on them. That kind of thing. Whatever. I don't like it. For instance, yesterday, I'm at the gym, I'm doing my workout, I see a young woman attempting to do incline benches, right? But her form was awful. She was like bringing the bar down like 6 inches. It made no sense what she was doing. It was an abomination of how you do this particular exercise. So I think to myself, I should show her how to do it properly, you know, because the way she's doing it now is bad, and it's not doing anything for anybody. But if I did that, you know, I'm thinking, okay, what do I have to be like? I have to go over there and go, hey, excuse me, first of all, I'm not hitting on you. This is not what this is. I'm a married man. I'm a pastor from next door, so take this in the right way. And then I'd have to go this whole long thing, and I'm like, because I just want to show you how to do this. Because what you're doing is comical at best. And I know I don't look like a bodybuilder, personal trainer, anything like that. But trust me, it happens like this. And then I start thinking, okay, let's just say that happened, that played out the way it's supposed to. She's like, oh, thanks. And then we're done. Cool. But it's not going to be, probably. Or what if I was like, did that? And she's like, thanks for your help. Then she might be like, why don't we work out together? You're here, I'm here and all this. And I'd be like, I can't because of the whole, you know, you're a woman, I'm a man in the gym. I'm married and it's a whole thing and I don't want to do it. But either way, it's going to get awkward, right? Because the gym is just weird now. And can we talk about the way that women are dressing nowadays at the gym? Like, I feel like the old guy that's like, these young whippersnappers, they're wearing practically nothing. But it's like, the gym outfits are over the top nowadays. It's like, come on. We used to just throw some sweats and a t-shirt on. That's the way the gym's supposed to go. So you may be like, why are you at the gym? Like, we're back on the gym thing. Well, if you're keeping score at home, the doctor told me, number one, I can't have gluten anymore. I need to lose 10 to 15 pounds in 3 months to have this liver test. And also I have a stress fracture in my back. So I got to tighten up my core and my glutes, which, by the way, when they said that I need to tighten the core, sure, I get it. I got the belly. I got it. But the glutes, trust me, I don't need to tighten the glutes. The glutes are not the problem, miss, if you know what I mean. I'm just saying, you could bounce a quarter off of these bad boys. But anyways, I can't eat the food that I love. I have to hit the gym, you know, really hard doing the things that I hate the most, you know, cardio and core exercises, which are the worst. So 2025 seems to be starting out on real shaky ground for me. Not in love with 2025 at the moment. Not at all. But while we're on the topic of 2025, let's get after this devotional. So, as we stand at the threshold of this new year, because we're still, this is week one, so it might be day one of week two, I don't know. But the opportunities for growth and transformation, they lie before us, like a blank canvas. Except in my canvas, in my case, my canvas is apparently too big, needs to be smaller. But thinking, you know, thinking of 2024, the past year has brought both, you know, joy, also challenges. But through it all, we have to remember God has been faithful. So I wanted to sort of guide you through, guide you into a new year, 2025, with the heart of reflection. Hopefully, growth and faith and anticipation of God's purpose for your life. So let's walk through three key points that will help us start the year with intention and purpose. Now, number one we have to do is reflect on 2024 with a heart of gratitude. Essentially, we should stop, pause, and reflect on the year that has passed with gratitude. And gratitude is the attitude that will strengthen our faith and help us recognize God's presence in every season. Whether 2024 was a year full of triumphs or trials, or probably both, God has been with us through it all. And in First Psalm 103, it says, the psalmist encourages us to cultivate a heart of thankfulness, remembering that all the ways God has blessed us and taught us. So Psalm 103:2 says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So when we reflect on the year, I'm sure it's probably easy to remember the big moments, the victories, the milestones, the celebrations that we've had. But equally important are the small, kind of often overlooked blessings that God has poured into our lives. These can be, you know, the quiet moments of peace, the lessons learned in times of hardship, or the encouragement of a friend. So I'd like you to take time and recall the ways God has worked in your life this past year. And then praise him for the growth that you've experienced in that year, the challenges that have shaped your character, the answered prayers that have filled your heart with joy. Even the hardships hold value. They're often the moments that refine our faith the most and reveal God's sufficiency and our weakness. So in reflecting on 2024, express your gratitude. Thank God for his faithfulness in both, you know, the mountaintop moments and the valleys. And let your gratitude serve as a foundation for the year ahead, knowing that, as Hebrews 13:8 says, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. All right, that was number one. Number two, grow your faith by cultivating daily spiritual habits. The new year, the start of the year, is a wonderful opportunity to deepen your relationship with God. The foundation for spiritual growth is built upon daily habits. Those daily habits nurture your faith. And while there, you know, there's so many aspects to a thriving Christian life, the most fundamental and necessary elements are the daily practices of prayer, scripture reading, and devotion. And these practices are not meant to be burdens, which I think a lot of people see them as. But it's rather a means to draw closer to the heart of God. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. So just like my upcoming weight loss core strengthening journey, physical health requires regular exercise and proper nutrition. And I know for sure wish we could snap our fingers and poof, we're in physical shape and we're good to go. But no, unfortunately, it takes a whole lot of work. Well, spiritual growth, spiritual health requires work too. It takes consistent engagement with God's word and time spent in prayer, And I find that's actually a lot easier than working out, by the way. So in 2025, consider setting some intentional goals for your spiritual growth. Like, number one, you know, reading scripture. Commit to reading your Bible daily, whether that's a chapter a day or verse by verse study. Make God's word, you know, a regular part of your daily routine. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light on my path." Let the word of God guide your steps in this new year. Then there's prayer. Prayer is, you know, the breath of the soul. In the hustle of life, it's easy to forget that prayer is our direct line to the Father. Start your day in prayer, thanking Him for the new year, asking for His guidance, and surrendering your plans to Him. Throughout the day, offer quick prayers of gratitude, petition, and worship. Then, here's another way that you can grow closer to God. Something that I haven't really talked a lot about in previous devotionals, and I don't talk about it a lot because this is what I find the hardest for me personally, and that is scripture memorization. So consider memorizing scripture that's a way to have God's word hidden in your heart. So Psalm 119:11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you." Having verses ready in your mind will help you stay focused on God's promises when challenges arise. I find this super hard personally. This might not be a problem for all of you, but I feel my hard drive, my brain, has very limited space, and I'm constantly purging old information to retain the current information. So for instance, I have to memorize 5 songs a week. Not so much all the lyrics, but I do have to memorize the music, the chords, and all that kind of stuff. And so it's like 5 songs go in, 5 other things have to come out to keep this in there for a week. And it's a struggle. So, and I also know, like, my hard drive is maxed out because songs that I've been playing for years, I still am like, how does this go? Why do I not know this? Because it's constantly being purged and whatever. So with scripture, the way I get a win and I feel good about it is if I know there's a topic, a scripture that I can't spout out word for word what the scripture is, but I'm like, I think I know where it's at. So, someone will be like, hey, what's a good scripture for like work ethic? And I'm like, in Colossians 3 somewhere, it says, you know, do all things for God and not for man. That type of thing. Like I got a good idea where it's at. I just can't spout out everything. My point is, each small step in cultivating these habits contributes to spiritual growth. Commit to these practices with, you know, sincerity and hard work, knowing that your faith will be strengthened as you grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, my last point going into 2025 is anticipate God's new work in you this coming year. New years brings new opportunities, and God's always doing new work in the lives of those who are willing to follow Him. As you reflect on the years past and grow in your faith, remember that God has plans to continue transforming you into the image of Christ. So don't let your past define you. Look forward to the ways God's shaping you this coming year. Philippians 3:13-14 says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul reminds us that there's always more ahead. No matter how much we've accomplished, there's always room to grow, to reach new heights, to pursue God's calling with greater devotion. God's not finished with you. Every new day offers an opportunity for a fresh start, a renewed focus, and a deeper surrender to His will. So as you enter 2025, remember that God has a unique purpose for you in your life. Don't be discouraged by past mistakes or shortcomings. Press forward with the knowledge that God's grace is sufficient for you and that he's able to do immeasurably more than we can have ever imagined. Pursue the goals he has placed in your heart, trusting that he will guide you every step of the way. So as we close this first devotional of the year, take a moment and reflect on these 3 points we've discussed. You know, reflecting on 2024, thanking God for the blessings and growth, and acknowledging his presence in both the joys and the challenges. We have to grow in our faith, commit to deepening our spiritual practices, reading scripture, praying daily, and memorizing God's word, and anticipating God's new work in you. So look ahead with expectation, knowing that God is continually at work in your life, molding you into his likeness. And I pray that this new year will be one of profound growth and a deepened intimacy between you and God. And as you press forward, know that the best is yet to come. So as you journey through this new year, remember that God is with you. He will continue to lead you into his perfect will. Press on towards the goal and trust that he will complete the good work that he started in you. So, happy new year, 8 days in, and I will see you next week.